You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy.
That's the day.
Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf Yud Tet. And we got up to the bottom of Kuf Yud Chet Amud Beit. We're right up to the Machlokas of Rav and Reb Yochanan. And that's 8 lines up. Omar Rav, Ein Yad Lepachot Mikazayet Ve'ein Shomer Lepachot Mikapol. So Rav says, there is no such thing as calling something a Yad unless it's attached to a minimum of a Kizayet. Now this has nothing to do with the din of the tuma that it's directly attached to, because obviously a yad is not mitzarev. So if it's pachot mikazayet, what would we be talking about? You need a kibetza anyway. The case over here is that you have, let's say, a bone, which is acting as a yad, and it's attached to a little bit of meat on top of the bone, and it's inside of a pot that's got a lot of other meat in it, so that altogether there's certainly a kibetza to be makabel tuma of the meat in the pot. To be mekabel tuma in the meat in the pot. And the question is whether the bone is going to allow tuma to get into the pot. So if the bone itself is a yad, so then it's basically will act as a conduit to tuma into the pot. But if it's not a yad, it won't act as a conduit into the tuma in the pot, the meat in the pot. What makes it a conduit? It's got to at least have a kezayit of basar, just because the less than a kezayit doesn't give it enough chashivut to be a yad, not because of the shear of tumah. Kezayit's not enough for tumah. That isn't the point, but it needs to be able to be called a yad. If it doesn't have a kezayit on it, it's not a yad. When it comes to a shomer has got to have at least the amount of a pi in there. So if it's kippol, then it's considered to be a shomer. Of course, that's a classic shomer, because that's how peas grow. They grow in a pod. And that pod, l'chor, is the shomer on the peas. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But in any event, it's got to be at least the shear of a kapol. If it's less than that, then it won't act as a shomer either. Rav Yochanan Omar? No. Yesh yad l'pachot b'kezayit, v'yesh shomer l'pachot b'kapol. It's not true. Once there's a shear, obviously it needs to be a shear. It needs to be together with other things and so on. But once there is a sufficient shear, and we'll see if he's talking about less than a kezayit, but larger than a kapol. Actually, that's a machloket between Rashi and some other mishnayim, because otherwise Rashi says, why not just put it all together? Yesh yad v'shamer l'pachot mikapol. So apparently you agree that you at least needed a kapol for a yad, but you're willing to go to less than that for sure. We'll talk about that later. Okay, ask the Gemara Meitve. On both Rav and Rav Yochanan, in order to clarify their shitot in light of the Machloket Tanaim that actually exists on this issue, take a look at the following. Meitve. Here we have a halacha that appears in Ohalot, and it's, of course, if it's in Ohalot, by definition, it is referring to a human body. It's pat besalo. You want pat besalo. Okay. And once you have pat besalo, you're happy. Every tzaddik is happy when he's got pat besalo. So now, here's the thing. Assuming that there is a din of yad when it comes to a human body. We're not talking about pat besalo anymore. He's playing games. So, assuming that there is such a din, now Tosfos asks, now whoa. A moment ago, just yesterday, we were talking about the din. It seems like only minutes ago. So, just yesterday, we were talking about how it is that we needed an extra pasuk for nevela, because otherwise, I would say dial of omina din liot kinidon. And if I learn the yad and nevela out of tanur and Zroim, how do I know that it could be that it's going to be Metame Yodam? Because they are Metame Yodam. We are about to utilize the din of Yad on a mate to be Metame in an Ohel. But it doesn't say anything about a Yad on a human body. That would itself have to be a derivation again, we would learn it out, let's say, from Nevela, one of the others, and we'd say, okay, Nevela's Matame Adam, and but a Tanur isn't, okay, we'd go around and we'd learn it out from two, right? Fine. But the problem is, we still should still say that Dayo Lavomin Adin Liot Kinidan. We're going to learn out that a mate is certainly more chomer than a Nevela, and therefore it should be Matame. Okay, but I mean, a Nevela, which is the core of the din, is not Matame in an oil, it's only Matame. What right do you have to be Matama Ba'aya? So Tosfos explains that once we establish that there's a din of Yad in Tuma Chamura, then obviously the Yad is for however that particular Tuma works. We don't need a new limud for every modality of transferring Tuma. The Gemara's Kasha about Nevela, the Dayal of Omin Adin Liot Kinidon, is that Bichlal we never saw that it worked for Tuma Chamura. Where do you see that an Adam is going to be Makabal Tuma? I mean, the fact that the Yad is Motzi and Machnis, I mean, it's still a far stretch to say that, and therefore it'll be Matame and Adam, what Tashi said. I mean, it's limited to within the structure of Eichlin, things that are Makabal Tuma, from a Rishon Tuma. But, I mean, an Adam is on Makabal from an Av. Fine, that we establish from Nevela. Given Nevela, I don't need anything else. So given Nevela, I make now my Kabal Chomer. You say, no, the point of a yad is that it's the same as touching the thing. So whatever touching the thing would be, that's what the yad would be. That's not a problem available. So it'll work in an oil also. All right, so once that's true, what I have over here is two human bones that have, each one has a chatzi zayit of basar. Now, a zayit of basar, amet is betam bebo'ol. So aleihem shnei chatza ezeitim. The side of the bone that has no flesh on it is now in a single bite. So hichnis roshehem, shnehem, labayit. You put them now,
the clean side,
right, into a bayit, and the bayit is ma'yil aleihem. The bayit becomes tameh. Why does the bayit become tameh? Because in total you have a kezayit of human flesh here.
Connected
through these two bones.
Yeah,
right? But each one of these bones is being considered to be a yad, even though there's less than a kazayit. Oh, and I thought we said before that, at least according to Rav, there's no such thing as a yad that pachot be kazayit. Now he's got to have trouble with this one. Yehuda ben Nekusom, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov. What? Eichnei atzabot mitstafin lekazayit. How could you possibly have two bones which they themselves are not a yad, in other words, each one of them, where would they be mitzaref? So in other words, he's taking the side of Rav, essentially. He's saying, yeah, you don't, what do you have, two bones? I don't see any yadayim here. If they would all be connected to these, each one is connected to the other one, and then there's a chatzi zayit on that, they're all one thing, maybe, but here you've got two separate bones, no way that such a thing can work. Okay, so now, if that's the case, Rav has got a problem with this. It's obviously not going to work out entirely like him. So what does Rav understand? And you put them both in the mate in the oil, they would be mitzaref. The oil would be mitzaref. But over here, they didn't get into the oil. But the bone is only working as a yad, we're assuming. It might be a shomer. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if you're telling me that you need a kezayit, then they don't start.
Was the clean side of the bone?
Yes. Otherwise, the whole discussion of the bone is irrelevant because the bone is not mitzaref here to the kezayit.
What's the shear of kabeya?
That's for kabbalas tumas, eichlin tumas. That's tumakala. That has nothing to do with mate. Now, I want to know what Rav reads here in this bright. Are we talking about bones that have marrow? If we're talking about bones that have marrow, then we're talking about a shomer. If we're talking about bones that don't have marrow, we're not talking about marrow when we talk about a chatzizayit. We're talking about actual flesh. I mean, it would work either way. What does Rav understand the bride to be talking about?
Marrow would exclude flesh. Or
no, that would just mean the marrow would be the shear of the chatzizayit of marrow. Fine. So ibiyat, by the way, generally speaking, you'll remember that the shomer is only a shomer when it's keneged the basar, in which case, how could the end of a bone be a shomer on marrow that's on the other end?
Marrow meat.
Marrow is a shomer inside.
Right.
But why would it be the entire bone that would act to do the equivalent of a yad if it, only the part which is connected to the marrow. So Rashi explains that it's only where the bone is intact that the marrow can survive. If the bone is not intact, then it's not going to be shomer on the marrow. So if any point of the bone is broken, ultimately the marrow is going to be attacked by bacteria, it'll be done, whatever, so it'll, so therefore it's not going to be shomer on it. Okay. So now, let's see how Rav would understand the braita. If it's talking about a yad, and it's not talking about a bone that has marrow in it, so now he's got a problem right there in the ratio. The ratio says, kipachos mikazayas, and we said that that's mitztarif, so that's the Tanakama, that's not going to work out. If he's learning that it's talking about a shomer, then he's got a problem with Yehuda ben Akusa, because what's the Yehuda ben Akusa? What? How can it be mitztarif to a kazayas? What is that? I mean, he said that it's mitztarif if there's kippol. Rav Shita is, if you're talking about a shomer will work as long as it's not pakot mikippol. So one way or the other, somebody's going to be fighting Rav in this bride. Depends how Rav wants to learn it. Well, I don't know. I mean, he could learn it either way. He could learn it, ibaitema b'shomer, ibaitema b'yad. Look, he could say, we're talking about over here, the simple meaning of it, it's a bone, doesn't have marrow, it's attached to actual flesh, talking about yad, in which case, he obviously agrees with Yehuda ben Akusa. And he's arguing on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says, tukhatsa is a team that are connected to a single ohel through a yad, is mechubar, and it's mitztaref. I don't agree with that. But that's not a problem because Yehuda ben Akusa says that the Tanakhama is wrong. My sheet is like Yehuda ben Akusa. Or we could be talking about that it's talking about a shomer, in which case Yehuda ben Akusa is wrong, according to Rav. Because Yehuda ben Akusa, what do you mean? How is pachot mikazayat mitztaref for a shomer? As long as it's got a mikapol, it's mitztaref. Ah, that's the point of the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama agrees with me. So either way works out. But there is no way to avoid, according to Rav, for sure, there's no way that Rav's going to get away with saying everybody agrees with him. It's either the Tanakhama or it's Yehuda ben Akusa, depending if we're talking about Yad or we're talking about Shomer. Now, Rabbi Yochanan has no choice. He's got to say that it's talking about a Yad, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a Yad is sufficient to have Pachot Mikibetza. So if Rabbi Yochanan says it's talking about a yad, the only way it can work out is if he holds like the Tanakhama, we're talking about a yad, and then, okay, Yehuda ben Akusa holds a yad, pochos mikabetz is not mitztarif. So who the Omer Ketanakhama? Okay, let's take a look at this bright. Tashma, how about over here? And this is an ukti. Rabbi Yuna Omer kulit, shieshu akazayat basar, goreret kula litum'a. We were talking about now a thigh bone, and this kulit now has a kezayit basar. So then, if it's attached now, there's a lot of other things here. Altogether, it's gorer tuma to everything. Acherim omrim? Nah, you don't need a kezayit. You could have even a pole, and would gorer kula latuma. Now, Rav is referring to what here? How does he understand it? Hai b'may mukim lo. Because if it's talking about a yad, how could it be kapol? I thought a yad requires a kezayit, so that it would be kasha seifa. If it's talking about a shomer, why would I need a kezayit? It should be able to be gerer, even if it's less than a kezayit, because he holds that a shomer is even kapol, and then here it's talking about a kezayit. So how's it going to work out? And here too again, ibay dema b'yad. It could be that it's talking about a yad, in which case he would be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, not the acherim, because Rabbi Yehuda says only if it has a kezayit. Or it could be talking about it to shomer, and then he agrees with the acherim. Afilu ein alei la kapol. That's perfectly okay. We just want to make sure that we understand how the various machlokot atanaim in this sugya would apply to our machlokot amoraim between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would have to say it's talking about a shomer, and therefore he's going like the acherim, and the acherim don't require the kezayit. Wait a minute, but the acherim say kapol. Rabbi Yochanan said if you're talking about a shomer, afil pachot mi kapol. So he's not going like the acherim, but he told me he's going like the acherim. He's not going like anybody. Right? Because he says if we're talking about a shomer, so then you don't need even a kapol. Well, I don't know. He says, afilo pachot mikapol. That's what he said. I assume that means no shear at all. No. So how can he say like a cherem? A kapol gami. He's saying kapol. They don't really mean kapol. But since the Tanakhama said a shear, the Kisayets, they said, nah, what a Kisayet, even kapol. But they didn't mean even kapol. They just meant anything. So, Kamri Inu Nami Shura, they just wanted to like, give an exaggerated shear. But, I mean, the truth is, if you get down to the nitty gritty, they don't really mean kishir. Omar Rava says, Rava, by the way, look at the case. There's no way of avoiding the conclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, it's talking about a shomer. Why the heck do you think we're talking about a kulit? Why would we mention a kulit? If you just want to talk about a yad, you could talk about any bone that's got meat on it.
A kulit doesn't?
Of course a kulit has bone, meat on it, but the main thing about a kulit is that's where you're going to find marrow. The thigh bone is the ikar bone that has marrow, right? So therefore, I mean, that's what your cholin bones are for. I mean, that's the marrow, that's a large bone is what we're looking for. So dekanami de b'shomer askin, we've got to be talking about a shomer. Diktoni kulit, that's why it says a kulit. Shmami know that indeed, we're talking about a kulit. Now, as far as understand, I know you think that I was a little bit crazy when I told you, it doesn't really mean kapol, it means anything. I want you to know that there actually is a discussion among the Amoraim as to whether the Acherim meant kapol or not. It's not my imagination. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Amar, when the Acherim say, even if it's a kapol, they mean it. Zeo shir. They mean that's the shir. The shir is, it's got to be a kapol. Rabbi Yochanan, and this is perfect, because this is what we understood. When we said Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Acherim, we said, how can Rabbi Yochanan hold the Acherim? The Acherim say kapol. And we said, well, it must be. They don't really mean kapol. Rabbi Yochanan himself says this. Rabbi Yochanan ain't zed shir. It's not a shir. Ain't zed shir. What do you mean it's not a shir? Did I read this right or not? Did they say kapol or did they not say kapol? Like a tani kapol, what means a shiur? No, but as we explained ourselves, this now turns out Rabbi Yochanan actually said word for word what we said. I need to go on a tanakama shiura, because the tanakama said it had to be a kazayit. So they said, nah, even if it's kapol, it's also okay. But they didn't mean to limit it specifically to kapol. Yeah, could be worse. Tashma? Okay, look at this, look at this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, mitaher, Bishopol. Now here we're talking about a Mishnah, and this is a fascinating idea in Uktin. Here we're talking about where you have kitniot that grow inside sharbitin, which is a tarmil, basically a little pod in English, right? So the question over here is, you have a shomer on pol, which you'd say that's basically the main shomer. And the Mishnah over there says even if there's only one kitnis that's left inside of the pod is still a shomer. Now that itself is weird. We're going to get to that because how could you possibly have a shear, the full shear, if you hold that it's going to that you require a shear if it would be anything less than pole, so then you wouldn't have. This is what our problem is. The Mishnah is saying you got one little bean, you got a bean. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, pole is not, does not require a tarmil. Only other kitniot. The pole is big. So why would you want a tarmil? You don't handle the large pole with the tarmil. You take them out of the tarmil and they come out instantly. I mean, they just bang it and they all fall out, right?
Yeah.
So they'll all fall out. And it's actually very convenient not to have them in a big, I mean, we'd have to drag around the gigantic thing. But you could put peas in a bag, and they're big enough that they don't get dirty. Or this is large white beans. I mean, that's all called poles.
That's when they sell them. You get poles, it's big beans.
Big beans, they don't sell them in the tarmil for that very reason. Because, on the contrary, I don't need it. Once they're grown, I don't need the shomer any longer. I don't need it. They're clean by themselves. They don't get mixed with little tiny pieces like mustard seed would or like trina would. So okay, I understand. Sesame gets full of junk. Of course, I'd rather have it protected until I'm ready to process it. But pole? Why would I want to keep it? Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, look, don't talk to me about a shomer when it comes to pole. If you're talking about kidney, fine. Mitame b'shal kidney. This is the way we understand it. That we're talking about shomer. Now, because it says, "B'nei Shirotze b'mash mishan." Now, mash mishan means to be able to protect the way that they are touched. In other words, they're going to be mixed with any dirt, dust, or anything else. They're going to get grimy, and therefore, I want them to be touched through the tarmil, which will protect them. So we're clearly talking, that language is the language of Shomer. It's not the language of Yad. So now, if that's the case, then it's talking about, and the Mishnah there was talking about where even if there's only a single seed left, a single seed that's Pachas Mikapol. Single seed that's Pachas Mikapol is going to become Tummy? Well, there you go. So in other words, what it seems to be saying over here is that even Pachot Mikapol, that's a very sure Mishnah. I mean, I say, how are you going to argue on this? I mean, the Rav is saying, no, you absolutely have to have this shear of a pole. So how do you explain this? You don't have a shear of a pole. No. It happens to be, as we're going to prove a little bit later, that from another kasha that we have, that the Mishnah is really not referring to Shomrim. What it's referring to is Yad. And it's talking about the Kulcha. As Rav Acha Breda Rava explains later today, we can use that same explanation up here, that it's talking about Kulcha and it's Mishum Yad. Al-Kanami, the Kulcha Mishum Yad. Now, the Kulcha is the stalk. So what it's talking about over here is that you've got these tiny sumsums or mustard. Now you tell me, how do you want to carry it? You want to carry it home. You're going to start taking them out, or you're going to take the entire plant with the kelach of it, the stalk, which holds thousands of seeds on it. So now you've got, oh man, you're talking about yad, you've got 20 kibetzim over here. I don't know how big the plant is. So that's a completely different deal. So even if there's only one seed left in a pod, you may have hundreds of them that are attached over here. And therefore, we're not talking about Shomer, we're talking about Yad, it's not a problem. What do you mean? But it said B'mash Mishan. Read that B'tash Mishan. Because you want to be able to easily use it, not to protect the touch it. There's two different words. There's Mishmush and there's Tashmish. They don't mean the same thing. Okay, so you can't bring a riot from there. Tashmada, okay, let's take a look now.
And the Tashmishan refers to the Kelah.
Carrying it. It's easy for me to hold the Kelah. So therefore, I now have a Yad. Toshma, the Tadid of Rabbi Yishmael. I'll call Zera Zehua Sheyizareya. Remember, that was our original drasha. Kiderech Shebnei Adam Motzi'in Lezriya, Chita B'Klipata, Sarah B'Klipata, Adashim B'Klipatan. These are tiny little things. These aren't, I understand. Now, Dasha is not going to be Kapol. I don't care what you tell me. So, clearly, there is a Shemer. That's the Makar of the Limud. A Shemer on a tiny little seed. Nah, you know what? The whole thing was a mistake. We've been asking the wrong questions here. Obviously, a Birya is shiny. All our questions we asked until now were wrong. We're asking about, what do you mean? How could you have it? I mean, it's so tiny. What would be the point of a shamer on a tiny little piece of sesame and mustard? I mean, that's, what do you mean? It's the Birya itself, a Birya Schoshek. When we're talking about the Shir V'Kesayat HaKapol, we mean on something that is not an entire Birya. But when it's Sholem, whatever size it is, it certainly has the value. That wasn't the machlokas of Rav and Rav Yochanan at all. Rav and Rav Yochanan were talking about food stuff, but not birias, processed foods. So you're talking about, okay, how much hummus, ground hummus, how much ground hummus is going to be inside of this? There you can talk about a shomer, but needing this year. But if you have one hummus bean, that's enough. So birya shiny, and that now obviates all of the questions that we asked until now. What would be the din of two shomrim? Shnei shomrim, mahu shiitztarfu. What exactly, when you say two shomrim, what exactly do you mean? Are you talking about one shomer on top of the other shomer? And now you want to know, could you be mitzaref, the upper peel and the lower peel, together to the shear of the kibetza? Let's say you have an onion. So now you've got like that top peel, and then you got underneath, you got another layer, and underneath you got a third layer. Can you add the whole thing? Or is it only the layer that is up against the piece that you're going to eat? That's your question. If that's your question, it's a silly question, because we know we already talked about Shomer al Gabi Shomer. So, Mika Shomer al Gabi Shomer. There is no such thing as a Shomer al Gabi Shomer, which we already touched on in the Mishnah in Uktzin about the dates of the Rimon. Vatnan, Rabbi Yehuda, Omeran, and, I mean, you're asking me about the onion? I mean, you couldn't get a clear answer to that. There's a Mishnah about an onion, a Mishnah in Uktzin. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shalosh Klipot Bibatzal. There's three basic levels of skin on a batzal. So you've got the pnimit, which is white. Over there, that is edible. And some people will eat it. They won't throw out that.
Most inner or the most outer?
No, inner. No, most inner before the whole. So the thing is that the first layer of white often has holes in it and so on. So people will throw it out.
It's dry. Right?
It's not dry. It's wet.
It's still good.
It's not like breakable like the outer ones are. But it often is not whole. So people like to throw it out, but it's perfectly edible. So the pnimit, the truth is it doesn't matter whether it has a hole in it. It doesn't have a hole in it. Ben shlema, ben ketura. That for sure is mitzterefet because that's considered to be not a shomer, and therefore who cares if it has a hole? The shomer has to be shomer. I mean, if a worm already got through it, it's obviously not a shomer any longer. But that doesn't matter because since it's edible, so it doesn't need to be a shomer. That for sure is mitzterefet. Okay. Now, outside of that, the emtsait. So there it would not be, people wouldn't eat it. And because that's the brown stuff that's around the onion, and that will fall off. So if it's still whole, then it's mitzdarek, because now it's a shomer. If it's kidura, if it's got a hole in it, it's no longer a shomer. So therefore it's not mitzdarek. But the chitzona, which is very flimsy, and it's above the middle one, that's a shomer, agave shomer, I don't care if it is whole. Benkach or benkach Torah, and it's not mitzdarek, but there's your answer. You don't have shomer, agave shomer. So you wouldn't be asking about a case that's a beferish mishnah, would you? So when you say our two shomer mitzdarek, you don't mean Rav Hoshaya, Shomer Agave Shomer. So what do you, Rav Hoshaya, mean? Rav Hoshaya, he was talking about where you originally have a perfectly good shomer. So you have a kibbutz of an onion, and around it you've got the shomer, and now you cut it into two parts. Now that you cut it into two parts, you need both parts in order to have your kibbutz. But now the shomer is not being a shomer because half of the onion is cut open. Do we say that since it was the shomer, so it still retains its din of tziruf? I mean, it was the same onion a minute ago. You said it's a shomer because you together with the eichlin and the shomer was mitzdarif to kibbutz, and now you split into two. So I want to know, does that mean, okay, now you don't have a kibbutz? Before you had a kibbutz, now you don't have a kibbutz because the original shomer has disappeared. I mean, even though it's here. Because in its current state, it's not shomer. That's what I'm asking you. So I was mechalik it coming by. Like, do I say, look, in its current state, keep it the high, low, magina, high. The high, low, magina, high. I mean, each one is irrelevant to the other piece. The shomer of piece A is not doing a darn thing for the shomer of part B. I mean, unless they were quantum entangled. There's absolutely no connection between them. So why would that shomer be able to be mitzvarif with something that is no longer part of its shmirah? So something's funny about that. So therefore it's not mitzvarif. Or do we say, yeah, but look, each one of them is a shomer on the piece of onion beneath it. So given the high magina didei, the high magina didei, and it started off as an onion. So a piece of a shomer can be mitzdarif for another piece of a shomer that's mitzdarif on another piece of onion. So each one, albeit I cannot say it's a shomer to the whole thing, but it's a shomer on its piece, and I'll put the two together, and you still have a kibbutz. That's my question. Oh. I got a beautiful answer to that. And here is the answer that we actually were accessing a moment ago. So we're going to bring a raya from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in a case where there's nothing left over here except there's one seed in a tarmil. So Tashma Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is Metayr b'shal pol u'metamei b'shal kitniot mipnei shirotze b'mashmishan. So how in the world, well, we thought over here that we meant that we could be mitzaref as shemrim the different parts. Because otherwise, I mean, what is he referring to? He says, Rotzeh b'mash mishan, which the Pashtus meant. And we're talking about a shomer. And he is saying, okay, put the parts together. I mean, we're going to get a kibbutz from this, being the timing. We get a kibbutz, we have a lot of parts. So why wouldn't we have a kibbutz? You've got a lot of sesame pods. You know, I'll have a full kibbutz. And you can be mitzaref, he's saying, b'mash mishan, you can be mitzaref the pods. Even though no stock, we didn't get the stock yet. Pods, we're still mashmishan. This is where we changed it to mean stocks and then applied it to earlier. But so far, we still think we're talking about pods. Now that means that pod A is mitzdarev with pod B, even though A and B are being shomer on different zraim. And apparently, that doesn't matter since each shomer is a shomer for what it's shomer. So all together, everything in Mitzrayim. That's a brilliant raya.
Can I split the onion, though? We split the onion. Doesn't that mean that your shomer was doing the entire thing? So now you've got two halves.
Yeah, but each piece has its own shomer.
No, it doesn't.
It does. The shomer on the part that's underneath it. Doesn't have to be shomer on the entire onion.
No.
But it has to be. What it is has to be whole.
But it's got this exposed...
Okay, so put that face down on the plate. That's fine. Over here, each sharvit is adding.
No,
we're going to see actually that they meant it depends. That's the whole question of the kulit that we spoke about before. There's places where dafka, if it is a full shomer, it's not a shomer because you have to be able to get to it. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But so far we're talking about the onion down, face down. I see that you're hungry. So there you go. There's Uriah. And it was here where Rav Acha Bar Rava said, you guys misunderstand the whole Mishnah. It's not talking about being mitzaref the shomerim. It's talking about holding the sesame by its kelach, by the actual wood that it's growing from. And you got hundreds of sesame seeds here in their sharvitin. And we're being mitzaref, not the shomrim, we're being mitzaref, the entire thing is yad, umishum yad, and even though it says mashmishan, the correct way of reading it is betashmishan, as we said earlier. Yes, any legume, by definition, grows in a pot. That's what legume means.
Like peanuts.
Yeah, in some container. You know, I mean, it doesn't always look like a pea pod, but it's some container. So let's see, therefore, if we can bring a raya to what Rav Hoshaya is questioning. You cut an onion into two. Do we say that each shomer, even though it's only shomer on the specific things that are next to it, nonetheless could still be part of the tziruf of the entire quantity? Or does the shomer that's mitzaref have to be able to be a shomer to the entirety of it? Otherwise, why should it be mitzaref to the part that it's not being shomer? That was his question. We don't have a raya from the case in the Mishnah of the Sharvitim of Pol, because they were talking about a kolcha. So let's take a look at the original drasha, Tashma. The Tanya, the Vei Rav Yishmael, where did we learn out the whole thing from? Akol zera zeruah asher yizareya, kiderek shivnei adam motziin lezri'a, chita beklipata, seora beklipata, adashin beklipatan. I mean, I don't get it. Like, you're talking about a single chita, and that single chita, how exactly is this, is the very makor of the din of shomer. So how exactly would you ever get a case where you could be mitzaref? The chita would have to obviously be where there are other chitas, and you're going to include them all together in the shomer of one chita as mitzaref with the shomer of other chita. I mean, otherwise, the whole lima doesn't make any sense. It's referring to a specific case where you're taking out a handful of seeds and you're using that as your kibetza, including the shomrim of each one of them. So how is the shomer on chita A going to be a shomer for chita B? It must be that each shomer, being mitzaref with its chita, in the end can turn around to be mitzaref into one single whole thing. How else do we learn it? Answers the Gemara, not necessarily. Remember that we learned that the meaning of the Mishnah was because we were talking about Bekulcha Mishum Yad. So remember, okay, we understood in that case, obviously here we can't say that, because here we're talking about the Makor of the Din for Shomer. But we can say something equivalent. So that the Mishnah in Uktzim, where we were talking about the pads of Adashim, we said we're talking about where you're holding on to the stalk, right, of the plant. You're carrying along a lot of Adashim. What we're talking about here is also where you're holding on to the stalk. Stalk in what sense? The straw itself, that the chita, the shibolet, we're talking about. Not a handful. You imagine I was talking about a handful of chita. It's not a handful of chita. It's not the brand. You're holding on to the actual plant. And you're holding an entire shibolet of chita, which is a large conglomeration of pieces of plant. And what does that gain? Obviously, if it's not talking about yad, how does that explain? I'll tell you what it gains. As long as the various chitim are attached to the shibolet, they all actually do protect each other. Because the moment that you pull one out, they all fall out. So in other words, the way that a shibboleth works is that it's tight and each one's presence is supportive of the other. But as I'm sure any of you have tried, once you try pulling out one of the chitim and any type of plant that grows like that, the whole thing falls apart because now it gets loosened and they all end up falling. Therefore, they are all basically shomrim one on the other. And there we can look at that entire thing as one plant. That's the only case that we're talking about. I mean, look, obviously it's a stretch, but the point is you cannot bring a raya from the car of the pasuk to the din of Reb Hoshaya that shomrim would be mitzarev one with the other. So just like Rav Acha b'Rei de Rava said over there in Uksin, can you hear Rav Acha b'Rei de Rava? It's talking about the kulcha over there, of course, b'shum yad. But Achinani, it's an equivalent case. It's talking about the shidras. You're holding the entire shibboleth, and not mishum yad, but in this case, we hold the whole shibboleth, it's mishum shomer. Wait, it's not quite, I mean, in practical terms, it's not really what you're saying. If you pull out a chita from the top of a shibboleth, that doesn't affect anything beneath it. It's only if you pull out something from the bottom of the shibboleth, that does impact what's above it. But I mean, let's be practical. You're trying to say that everything is shomer and everything else. That's not the case. So bishlama, I lit that tzrichilitatori. I understand that the rows on top that are holding the wheat are in need of the bottom rows in order for them to be maintained within the shibboleth. But what good does the tatia get from the alita? So the tatia might tzrichil alita. Why in the world would we call the ones on top shomerim for the ones on bottom? We're not talking about different rows. We're talking about a single row in the shibboleth. A single row in the shibboleth? You'd have a kibetza and a single row in a shibboleth? How would you get such an immensely large chitim? Mi'ika kibetza ach eichlin b'chad dora? Oh yes, absolutely, says the Gemara. That was the ma'isa of the Gemara Ta'anit of the days of Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach had chitim that were as large as shtei klayot of a shar gadol. So what's the problem? Oh, well, I mean, if we're talking about chitim of Shimon ben Shetach, then we don't have a problem. You could have had the original single chita, and in one chita you got more than a kibetza, so your whole problem is not a problem. So ashtadatita lahachi, I mean, you want to stretch it, let's go all the way. And we're talking about Paul Bunyan's chitim. So mamela is no problem. A single chita is as big as a whole kidney, which is significantly more than a kibetza, and therefore maybe that's what the pasuk is talking about. Who said it's talking about our puny midget chitim? Okay, so we don't have a raya from there. Gufa. Let's get back to our case. The case began the entire machlokas where we're talking about Yehuda ben Akusa. What was the case? You had human remains, of which there were two atzamot, that each one of which had a chatzi b'kezayit of flesh. And you were machnis roshehem, shnaim, both of them, into a bayit. The bayit is ma'ahil on the two chatzai zaitim. So l'maisi, you have a kezayit mate in the bayit, and the bayit is tameh. Whereas Yehuda ben Akusa said, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, how in the world could you have a yad which is shnei atzamot that should be mitzarf into a kezayit or a shomer, depending on how we learned the machloket yesterday, it could be al shomer, it could be al siyad. Now, Omer Reish Lakish, this entire discussion, you'll note, is about bone. Bone, I understand, is a yad, but to have a piece of flesh that extends into the house by having a hair in the house, that is not considered to be a yad. A nima lo haviyad, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that's not true. Even a single hair is considered to be a yad. Now, of course, we touched on this very briefly in the original discussion, but let's get into the details, because Rabbi Yochanan is going to ask Reish Lakish from the cases that we originally had discussed it. Or sheyesh alav kezayit basar hanogea b'tziva yotzei minen u'b'sa'ara shekenegdo tameh. My love, mishum yad. So here we have a case where you're touching either a thin piece of flesh or a hair. And it says over here that you would actually be mekabel tuma. Then utilizing a hair, which I assume, I mean, what's the purpose of that? It would be al ziyad. What good is a hair? It certainly doesn't seem to be useful as anything but a yacht. So my lav mishum yacht, says the Gemara, fascinating. No, it's actually talking about mishum shomer. How could a hair be a shomer? The hair is growing on the skin, and the skin is the shomer on the flesh. And we had the whole discussion of ein shomer agabi shomer. We were talking about onion skins yesterday, where we were talking about the pitma of the rimon and the sieve that's around the pitma. I mean, we saw very clearly that there's no din of a shomer agabi shomer. So how could you explain the use of a hair as being anything but a yad, in which case it's a clear raya to Rabbi Yochanan that a hair is a yad? Answers the Gemara, no, what you don't understand is that a hair follicle goes all the way through the skin. Since it goes all the way through the skin, it touches the basar, which means that the hair is considered to be a direct shomer on the basar that's beneath the follicle, not the skin. Oh yeah? If that's the case, there's not a kosher pair of tefillin in the world. Because according to this, even though you write the tefillin on the backside, the cloth, not the hairy side of the cloth, but according to you, the hair goes all the way through, which means that there's these small holes that are going through. If there's small holes that are going through, then that's not ketivat tama, because there's two separate halachas. There needs to be, the otiyot need to be shalim. Fine, the otiyot is shalim. There's a separate halacha of ketivat tama that the entire ktav has to be on the cloth. And in this case, you don't have the entire ktav on the cloth, because you have it, some of it is over these holes, obviously, that there were the hair follicles that go all the way through the other side. Veleka, so you're not going to be yotzei the halach of ktiva tama, which passes the tefillin. Uchtav tam. Uchtiva tama. No. He forgot us very important halach in asking that question. I mean, it's cute, but it's completely irrelevant, because ish tamitete, he simply was ignoring and forgot how the amri b'marova, that the definition of ktiva tama is specifically a nekev, that the ink doesn't naturally cover. But since over here these are microscopic, or very difficult to see, the hair follicles, so since over here the dio is over a love, kol nekev sha dio over a love eno nekev. Okay, now there's another approach. No, the other approach is very simple. You're bringing a raya that, to Reish Lakish, that hair is considered to be a yad. You know what? You're right. The hair is a yad. Does it say anything about a single hair? When it says a hair over here, it means exactly the way that Rabbi Law says this. We'll see. He's talking over there about the hairs that are on the shibolet. Now, those are very, very thin and delicate. You try picking up a shibolet of chita with one of those hairs, just pops off into your hand, which was exactly Reish Lakish's taina. How is a hair a yad? I mean, it's not strong enough to support the basar. So what Rabbi Yochanan is bringing a raya that if a hair extends, it doesn't mean if a hair extends. It's like Rabbi Lo learns the sugya of the hair of the shibolet. It means b'malai shebeina milayim. It's one of those hairs is malai. Meaning you have a handful of this stuff. That's the point. Yes, yeah. Somebody I think asked yesterday, what if you would have a whole tuft of hair? Why wouldn't that be considered a yad? And as I said, it would be. It's exactly what we got to finally in the sugya. It would be. That wasn't what Rabbi Reish Lakish was talking about. He didn't say magically hair doesn't serve as a yad. He's just saying unless you have a significant amount of hair, it's not going to act as a yad because it falls off. If it falls off, you can't practically use it to pull anything. That's all he was saying. So here too, we use the same logic, Rabbi Law. When it says nima, it really means nima shebeina nimi. By the way, where was that Rabbi Law that you were referring to? I don't remember it. Heichet mad Rabbi Law. Ah, he said that in the Mishnah in Uktzin. Over there it says milay. The actual lashon over there is not really milayim. It's malin shebishibolim. But okay, this are with an ayin. But milay shebishibolim mitamin umitamin ve'inan mitstarfim. Now, what does that tell you? They are themselves able to bring tuma into the shibolet, and they would be mitame something else if the shibolet was tummy. But they're not mitzarev. What does that tell you? Are we talking about a yad or a shomer? obviously a yad, because if we're talking about a shomer, the shomer is mitzaref. So therefore, if the Mishnah is saying that it works, so then it's a yad. How, we asked over there, malai, malai chazir, what good is one of those tiny little hairy things that stick out of a grain? Oh, and there Rabbi Eliezer doesn't mean one. Obviously, you get 100 of these. Together, they can support a little bit of weight. So, but malai shebein amalaim. Okay, this is one version of the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. There's another version. Lishnachri namalai. They, other Lushan, continued on to prove what Reish Lakish was saying. We stopped at that point. This Lushan says, and don't try to tell me that we're not talking about a shomer. We are talking about a shomer. Because achinami mistaver de mishum shomer. It's got to be shomer, because, I mean, how could you think otherwise? It's not that mishum yad. Nima achas lamai chazi. What are you going to do with a single hair? And that, we answered, Rabbi Yochanan in this case, answers, kiryama rabbi loy, bimloy shabena maloy. No, it's a good yad, because it's strong enough, just like it says over there, if you put a bunch of million, our unity is our strength, and therefore here too, achinami benima shebenanimim. And there again, we asked, and echit mandu Rabbi Eloi, the time of Melo Shebe Shebelim, time of time, and mitzvahim, and we asked Melo Shebe Shebelim, and Rabbi Eloi said, and Melo Shebe Shebelim, fine. There's also a third Lush. The third Lush learned that the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, went straight on the Mishnah that we just said. So, our Mishnah begins the Or Vareitav. So, what does it say? Or Varotav, Akipin, and the Atzomais. Oh, Atzomais are Mitztafri. And what are Mitztafri? The time it says Reish Lakish. Well, I mean, it's only because it's an Etzem and it's strong and it can support the meat that's on it. But, I mean, that's because the. What are we talking about over here? An Etzem can be a Shamer. But a nima, that it's a shamer to the marrow within it. Sorry, I said the flesh on meat, the marrow that's in it, in this version. But a nima is not considered to be a shamer. So in this version, they weren't arguing about yad, they were arguing about shamer. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even a nima is a shamer. And here, Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, how could a nima be a shamer if a nima grows out of skin? So then it's on top of the skin? Then it's a shomer agabe shomer. And we already saw shomer agabe shomer doesn't count. And again, in this version, our Rabbi Yochanan answers, no, it's not a problem, because it's chuchulei mechalchulei. It's basically the same thing, except that we're switching who said what to whom, and on what it was said. Matki floravacha, just like we had in the first version. So then how could tefillin be kosher if you're saying that the hair follicle penetrates all the way through the skin, even though I write the tefillin on the back, on the non-hairy side? It should still be possible. Obviously, we could have asked this on any. We're asking on the tefillin, because the tefillin, we try to give you an answer. Well, the tefillin are written on the back, not on the hairy side. But according to you, it's... Okay, obviously, I mean, we're going to have to deal with this issue no matter what. So, and here too, in this version, we answer, call nekev shad yover, love ino nekev. Now, here Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, or Sheyesh Alav Kizayit Basar, or Gebet Siva Yotzemi Menu, Ubisa Arashik and Adot, Tamei. How could you learn that a Sar is not a Shemer, which is the way you're learning, and I argue with you, where here it says, even if you touch a hair, it's already Tamei. Now, that's got to be as a Shomer. I mean, what good is a hair? To which Reish Lakish says, no, it's a yad. And Rabbi Yochanan in this version says, what are you talking about? How could it possibly be a yad? Nima achas. How could you lift anything with a nima? And in this version, it's Reish Lakish who answers, Kedama Rabbi Lo, Bimloi Shebein Amaloi, Hochi Nami, Benima Shebein Animi. And here too we ask, and where did Rabbi Loi say what he said? Azitzan Amaloi Shebein Shebolin, Bitamin Ubitamin, Ve'im Mitztarfim, which means that it's a yad. And how could it be a yad? Malai lamachaz. And it was there that Rabbi Loa said, why not? It could be talking about a tuft of shibboleth hair. And here it's talking about a tuft of animal hair. So, me malai, shibbein amalai. Omara, ein yad lepachot mikazayit ve'en shomer lepachot mikapol. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh yad lepachot mikazayit ve'en shomer lepachot mikapol. Meitve, shtei atzamot ve'aleihem shnei chatzai zeitim v'ichnis roshehem shnayim lebayit, abayit ba'ayil al shneihem abayit tameh. Yura ben Nukusa, omara mishum Rabbi Yaakov, eich shnei atzamot mikstafim lekazayit. Now, how does Rab understand this? V'may ukimlo, we're talking about a yad where there's no marrow, so then kasha reisha. Which says you need a gezayit, then the pachot be gezayit rather is okay. He says you need a gezayit. Ibe shomer kasha seifa, because he says you need only a kapol. Ibaitem ibe shomer ibaitem ben biyad. Ibaitem ben biyad, then he'd have to be agreeing with Yehuda ben Akusa. Ibaitem ibe shomer, then he agrees with the Tanakhama that you don't need a gezayit. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he has no choice, but say it's talking about a yad, and he's going like the Tanakhama. Tashma. Rabbi Yonon Rekuli, Chieshler, Kazayat Basar, Goreret, Kulada Tuma, Achirim, Omrim, Afilo, Ein, Aleal, Kepol, Goreret, Kulada Tuma. Now, Rav, Haiba, Mai, Mukimla, because I, Biyad, Kasha, Seifa, I, Bishavar, Kasha, Reisha, he could say it's Biyad, which case he's going like Rabbi Yehuda, or he could say it's talking about a Shemer, which case he's talking about a Achirim, that don't need a Kazayat. What? How does that work? If Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gula, Bishomer, Vulyomer, Kachirim, Acherim, a kapol kamre. I thought he said he feel a bugs me kapol. Acherim or bedafka, not like Rabbi Yochanan. As a matter of fact, nobody's like Rabbi Yochanan. How is he going to learn that? Well, because I did the kometana kama shiur. They say you need a gezayit. Okay, so he talked about a shiur, a kapol. But they don't really mean a kapol. Oh, my Rava, Dekanami, we got to be talking about a shermer. It's only kulit. What's the point of a kulit? Unless it's a marrow bone, shmamina. Itma, Rabbi Chanina, Omar, when Acherim say, a kapol zeu shir. Rabbi Yochanan said, nah, please, a kapol doesn't mean a shir of a kapol. What are you talking about? Ain't a shir. It says kapol. Why are you telling me it's not a shir? It only says kapol because I did come a tanakam a shir, a kamrin an amishirah. Toshma, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitayer b'shel pol u'mitamei b'shel kitznit yivnei shirotze b'tashmish b'mashmishadna. Ah, it doesn't mean that. It means k'nomer v'achrei rova. It's talking about the kulcha. It's not talking about a shemer. It's b'shum yad. It's talking about the kulcha. Here too, we'll say the same thing. Hakinami kulcha b'shum yad. When it says b'mashmishan, which could only mean shemer, it's a wrong girsa. It's a b'tashmishan referring to the usage, which is a yad element, to handle it with. Handling it with is a handle. Toshma nizan in the way Rabbi Yishmael, ako zera zeng roasher yizareya, gederach shmei adam otzin chita, klipata asurabe, klipata adashim, klipata, and I mean, these are tiny things. Where do you get a gezayin or a kapol? Ah, the whole thing's a mistake. Bir yashay, of course. Boy rabo shay. Shnei shomerim mao shiitstarfu. Echidom. We know there's no such thing. Mika Shema Gabi Shemer. But Zan Rabbi Yirom Er Shalosh Klipot Bebatzal Pnimit Ben Shlema Ben Kedura Mitztarefet. Emtzait Shlema Mitztarefet Kedura Em Mitztarefet. Chitzona Ben Kach U Ben Kach Torah. No, Rav Hoshaya was asking something else. Rav Hoshaya was asking Yishomer Ocho Shechil Kolka Mibali. Do we say? Ki V'dahai Lo Magin Ahai. V'hai Lo Magin Ahai Lo Mitztarefet. Odima given the high magina di day, the high magina di day, mitstarfim. Tashma, Rabbaz ben Azayim et Arbishal Paul, betame bishokitrit. Mipleisharot sebamash bishan, we're assuming now, as we did initially, that it's talking about a shomer, which means that we're putting together pod for Zera A with a pod for Zera B, which are completely irrelevant to each other. Omer Avach, Breda Rava, no, it's not talking about putting pots together. It's talking about Yad over here, Bekulcha, not Shomrim, Mishum Yad. When it says B'mash Mishan, that should be read B'tash Mishan. That's the point. Tashma. Tetona Devei Rabbi Yishmael Akol, Zera Zei Ruasha Yizarei Agadar Shemei Adam Motzin Lizri Achita, Beklipata Sora, Beklipata Vadashim, Beklipatan. How is that? You'll never get a kibbutz there unless you're being mitzarif everything for everything else. No, because k'yomer v'achem reid rava. When it came to the din of yad, he said it's a kulcha b'shum yad. Well, we could do the same thing for shomer. Achinami b'shidra u'mishum shomer. Wait a minute. I mean b'shlama elite. I understand it's richa le'tetar, but How are the titah tricha le'alita? Oh, we're not even talking about titah and alita. We're talking about b'chad dora. B'chad dora. Miika kabeitza ochle b'chad dora. Sure, man, you forgot about chitim of Shimon ben Shetah. Kishtei koyot shel shara gadol. Wow. If we're talking about that, after that tita la'achi, you might as well just go back to the single chita and have it big as Shimon ben Shetah. Gufa. Shnei atzamot valeim shnei chatzai zeitim, ichnis roshayim, shnayim labayit. And now the bayit is ma'il aleim abayit tamei, and yudah ben ikus avishim Rabbi Yaakov. Ah, come on, shnei atzamot mitztafim l'kazayit. Anyway, says Reish Lakish, okay, now you got to understand that the whole discussion is dafka etzem, because there we got a yad, a nima. Nima's not a yad, it's too easily breakable. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, fil nima ami have a yad. Eitve Rabbi Yochanan, shlokish or sheishlof kezayit basar and ogeh, but siva yotzi ben abasara shekenegas tome, my love, it's tome mishum yad. No, mishum shomer, what do you mean shomer? The hair is on top of the skin, which would mean ika shomer, agabi shomer. You're wrong. The hair is chulchul and mechalchel all the way to the baser. Marki lo b'rivakar b'yakar, that's the case. There's no kosher tefillin in the world. Hechi katvina b'ina ktiva tamah, according to you, it's all over the hair follicles. Nah, come on. Ishtamite adem rambam arova. Kol nekev, shadyo veralav inu nekev. V'boi teima, the other lashon is like this. Kulam ishum yad, kidomer v'loi, b'mloi shepenem aloim. Here too we're talking about nima, Shabin Hanimi, the Echid Ben Regloh, Meloshe Beshibolim, Mitamin, Umitamin, Veina Mitstafim, which obviously by definition means it's a Yad, not a Shomer. And so, yes, well, what good is a Malai? I mean, those things like they break off the minute you pick on them. Lamai Chazi, and Rabbi Eloi explained that's only a single one, but he pluribus unum, and now they become strong. Meloshe Ben Amaloi? Okay, Lishnach Mina for the whole business continues on from where we brought the solution to the yad problem by claiming that it's a shomer, and we said, "Achinami mistarved the mishum shomer." The east hakadak the mishum yad nima achas. What good is a nima achas? Ah, kin amr v'loy meloy shben meloy machnami nima shben animin and hecha itma the v'loy hadetznan meloy shben shibel mitamim mitamin ve'im mitstarfim meloy lemay chazi amr v'loy meloy shben achim. Okay, ikinamas the whole discussion of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on our Mishnah. Ha'orav ha'rotav ha'kipa va'atzamot. I mean, staff and tabi to v'tzalcha v'shroki says that's dafka atzamot because of etzem is a shamer to the marrow. But a nima, what's a nima going to do? It's not a shamer. And in this version, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, that's the whole point. A nima is the shamer. I'm going to reflect to Rabbi Yochanan. What? Then it's a shamer, I got a shamer. No, it's chalkulim ha'chalkum. Haskalu racham ha'at tefillin echid v'ina ha'bina k'tiv adam ha'valeka. And here too we answer, Ishtabit Teyan de Amrim Bamar, Ravakon Nekev Shad Yo Veralav, Eno Nekev. Eight, Rabbi Yochanan Rishlakish, or Sheshlav Kizayat Basar no Gebet Siva Yotemi Menobisara Shekinegdo Tame, my love Mishum Shomer, not Mishum Yad, Ima Hata, my Chazik, and Amrim Bamelashim and Amloim, Hochanami, Benimashabet and Nimin, the Echit, and Rabbi Law, Audit's not Bloishab Shibelam Tamid Mitamin, Ben Mitstarfim, Meloy, my Chazim, Rabbi Law, Loishab and Amloim.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle. Today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, happy Rosh Chodesh Sivan. I'm holding on that foot, Yud Ches, on the base. Omar Rav, we're going to start now the Machlokes, 7 lines from the bottom. Omar Rav, Ein Yad Lepachot Mikazayet, Ein Shomer Lepachot Mikapo. Rav Yochanan Omar, Yesh Yad Lepachot Mikazayet, Yesh Shomer Lepachot Mikapo. So we have here a question as to what the shiur is of Yad and Shemer. According to Rav, if the Yad is attached to something that could be Makabal Tuma, which is itself less than Kizayit, then it's not partial enough to have a Teras Yad. And therefore, it wouldn't be able to bring Tuma in or out. When it comes to a Shomer, a shomer, even though it's pachas mikazayis, would be considered to be a shomer and could be mitzaref, but there's no shomer for less than a pull legabe tzivos. So in other words, even if you would have a beta with the shomer together with the yerichlin, wouldn't help you, because if the yerichlin itself is less than the shear of a pea, then already there is no shomer there at all. It wouldn't even be able to be machnis and motzi, much less to be mitzaref. But according to the Yochanan, even if the yad is attached to something that has less than a tzayit on it, it's considered to be a yad. However, clearly not less than a pole, whereas a shomer, even less than a pole. In other words, that's why he doesn't put the two together. So a shomer is more effective than a yad. And the mela, even though it's less than a pole, it's also going to be machnis, noitzi, and mitzvah. Meise. So now, in order to clarify the shitas, it's not really, be sure to explain, even though it says meise, it's not truly a question, it's more of a way of introducing a sugya in which we want to work out the way we Rav and Rav Yochanan learn the various shitas among the Tanoim. So meise. We're talking over here about Tumas Meis, which we never spoke of before. We only spoke about Nevelas, Tumas Erechlin. However, as Tosis points out, we can learn out that there's a Yad Lameis from a Mahatzad between the Din of Nevela and the Din of Tanur, the Gavi Erechlin. Once we establish that there's a Din of Yad, then already whatever would be the din of Yad for Nevela, in other words, that the Nevela itself has the Yad has the same tumah as the Nevela. So for the mace, we would say the Yad has the same tumah as the mace. It's necessary to say that because the sugya that we're about to begin discusses tumas ohel. And there would be no basis for learning out tumas ohel because we would have to say dayol avo min adin leyot yinidon if we're going to be learning out from Nevela, let's say. So then, in the same way that we said earlier in the parak, that it's necessary for us to have a special posek, because we would say dayo legabe nevela, only those things that nevela would be metamin. But here, lechora, we would say dayo, if we're learning from nevela, only those things that nevela is metamin, and it's not metamin the oil. So Tosis explains, once we established, that was before we had established the din of yad atuma chamura at all. But once we've established that a yad is the equivalent of the dover tameh by nevela, there's no reason for us not to say the same thing by mace. However, the mace would be metame, so too would the yad of the mace be metame. So in this case, we're talking about, we have two bones of a mace that have on them, each one of them has a chatzizayis of boser min hamace. Now, a chatzizayis of boser min hamace is metame be'oyim. Less than Kazayas is not the time of Israel. What happened over here is that someone put the Roshehem Shnehem Nabayat Akad. Both, I heard various vicious rumors that Sir Richard was on time when I wasn't here.
Never. Never. This is the closest to being on time I've come. There was one time on my father's yard site when I came early because I had a... That's all it takes.
I see. So in other words, if you had seven parents, you could shoot all of them. well, it's good to see you anyway.
So,
all right, so we're back. Let me just, for the latecomers, let me just point out what we're discussing over here. We have a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as to the shiur at which Yad and Shomer becomes effective. So Rav says in order for something to be a Yad, it has to have at least a kizayis. In order for something to be a Shomer, it has to be a Shomer on something that is at least a shiur of a pole. Of a being, the pea. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan argues that he says even less than a kezias is okay to be a shiur for a yad. However, it must at least be a pole. And if it's a shomer, then even if it's less than a pole, it's also considered to be a shomer. Now, And the question over here is, we're asking them from a case, which we're up to now on the bottom of Kufiyot Chesamet Beis, in a case of a mace. And we didn't discuss mace before, but Tosfos explains how we learn out mace from the case of Nevela and Eichlin in a Talmud. So that there's also then a Yad V'Shemer on a mace. And if you have two atzamot of a mace, each etzem has on it a chatz zayis, you require kizayis bosom and a mace in order regularly, in order to be mitami. Over here, the basar itself was not in the ayel, but the part of the bone that was attached to the basar, but didn't have basar on it, was in the ayel. So now, the question is, would the ayel be matami b'meis, even though the basar per se is not in the ayel, but the yad should be maybe the basar into the ayel, so to speak. So whatever tumah is in the basar should be able to be nitmas v'yotze there, the yad or the shemer. It's not clear what this is. We'll talk about that in a second. And the Tanakhama over here says that if the bayit is ma'ahil on both ends of the bones, then the bayit is tamed. Whereas Yehuda ben Nekusa omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, it's absurd. Hey, shnei atamot mitztarfim l'kizayit. How can you have a tzirut of two chatzizekim derech a yad or derech a shomer? You need to have a kizayit to makom echad. And here, apparently, he holds that you can't transfer the presence of the basar if there's no zayis in the basar at all. So now, the truth is, we don't know precisely what the case is here. Because the case may be talking about a bone of a mace on which some shred of muscle is still left, a chatzi zayis. Or it might be talking about a bone of a mace that has no basar on it, but has moach and the etzem in it. Now, if it's talking about a case of moach and the etzem in it, then of course it's a reference to a shomer. If it's talking about a shreds of muscle on it, on the other end, then it's talking about a yad. And there may well be a difference. We know there's a difference in the shiur. Is it a shiur of a zayat or a pole? The fact that it's said over here, two atzamot, each one that has an atzi zayat, seems to be clearly avoiding less than that. Because then you get into the question of less than a pole, too, you see. So there's an indication over here that if you at least need it, it should be more than a kapoor. Otherwise, you could tell me any number about so much. Each one has a tiny bit of basar on it. If you put the ends into an oyo, it would be matame the oyo. But since it says dafka too, it's also problematic on the Rav Yochanan sheet. So now how does Rav and Rav Yochanan? Let's take a look at Rav. Rav hide the mic who came up. Rav holds that there's no such thing as a yad for focus because I is. Has a real problem in learning that this is talking about a case where you have a bone with muscle on the other end, right? Because haiva mai mukima, even biyad. If we're talking about a case of a yad, so how did the Tanakhama say in the Resha that you could be mitzare through a yad to chatsa ezetim if it isn't even a yad, since it was less than a zayat on it? Because Ravos less than a zayat doesn't function as a yad. So kasheresh. If it's talking about a type of bone that has moach in it, not basar on it, and then it works as a shomer, iba shomer, so then kasha seifa, then it doesn't make any sense to seifa, because in the seifa we find that Rav Yehuda ben Nekusa is saying that for some reason you cannot be mitzarei two bones with less than a kizayis on them, but Rav himself agrees that you can, because he says, Ein shomer lepachot mikepol. A chatzi zayit is a lot bigger than a pole. So then how would he understand Rav Yehuda ben Nekusa? By the way, it's just a small addition that we need to consider for a moment, which is, remember that the case of the shomer, as we said earlier, and shomer is only the time it can make it a shomer. Let's say you have skin that's attached to some of the basar nevel. If you touch the or shalok and make it habasan, it doesn't work as a shemer. A shemer is only what is directly up against the basar that's being shemer. So, I mean, I understand if you're talking about skin, you're talking about a bone, long bone. How is the end of a bone considered to be the shemer on the moach that's inside the bone on the other end? Rashi explains over here that the context of shemer is defined by the case. The truth is that the moment that the bone is punctured, the moach is vulnerable to decay, and therefore the entire bone is actually shemer on the moach that's in it, which is not similar to the case of the Or and Basar, where there's no relationship of Or the Shalok and Agada Basar Mamish. So for all intents and purposes, the entire bone would be considered to be a shaman for whatever Moach is in it. So now to clarify how Rav learns, obviously it can't be talking about either case. It can't be talking about where it could be either a Yad or a Shoner, because then Rav would not be following any of the Shitas here. Not the Tanakhama, and not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rav holds that if it was a Yad, it would be Torah, because it's less than a Kezias. And if it's a Shemer, it would be Torah, because it's more than a Kezias. Whereas over here, the Tanakhama is saying, in either case, if you want to learn it, it's Torah, in either case. In either case, it's Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Ikkus is saying, in either case, it's not Torah. So it certainly can't be talking about either case. So which case is it talking about? So, obviously, we have two options. Yibayis Ema, it could be talking about a Shomer. Yibayis Ema could be talking about a Yad. And how would it work out? Yibayis Ema, if you want to, you could say it's talking about a Yad. And then, of course, Rav would hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Ikkusa. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Ikkusa says, you cannot be Metzarech. Do Chatzai Zaytim with a Yad. Which is exactly what Rav says. Or, it could be talking about a Shomer. And since it's a chatzi zayit of basar in each bone, which is more than a kapol, Rav is meida that a shomer is fine as long as it's more than a kapol. So then, why does Yehuda ben Ikkusa argue? And he holds not like that, but Rav would don't make a tanakama. So either way, Rav is going to learn like one of the shitas. Now, Rabbi Yochanan does not have that choice, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's a yad or a shomer, it could certainly be maybe less than a zayit. Question is kapol. So Rabbi Yochanan would have to say, it's talking about over here then if it's a machlokes, it's talking about yad, because otherwise nobody holds with him. It's talking about yad, with the Amat Tanakhama. And he would be going, according to Tanakhama, who says that the bone can bring as a yad, a chasis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Ikkusa. Sorry, it's okay, so probably not Rabbi Yehuda ben Ikkusa. If it's going like a shomer, then it would be a problem. But if we're talking about a pole, it's definitely more than a pole. Why would anybody argue? Toshima, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kulit, Shiyesh Aleha Kizayit Basar, Goreret Kula Letum'ah. Acherim Omerim, Afilu Ein Aleha Ela Kipol, Goreret Kula Letum'ah. Now, here it's talking about a Kulit, which is a femur, and it's a large bone that has a Kizayit Basar. Note that it seems to require a Kizayit. Then any place on that Kulit will be considered to be Tomei Meitz. The whole thing is Gorer Latuma. Masha'in came the Acherim, this is Rebbe Meir holds, that even if it doesn't have a Kezayit, even if it only has a Kapol, it would also be Gorer Kul Latuma. So now how does Rav this? Learn this. Ibamai Mukimah. Ibiyad, if it's talking about a Yad, then why is the Sefer say less than a Kezayit than by a Kapol? And if it's talking about a Shomer, then why in the world does the Rashi say it has to be a Kezayit? There's a Shomer according to Rav, even if as long as it's more than a pole. So again, Iba is saying with the Yad, Rudiomic Rabbi Yehud, huh? He might be holding like Rabbi Yehud, and it's talking about a Yad, and therefore it works out perfectly, because indeed Rabbi Yehud says it has to have a Kezayit, and that's what Rav says. Or it could be talking about a Shomer. That's why it says like the Akhenim, Rabbi Meir is saying, even if only has a Kapol, it's also good. That's how he holds. Rabbi Yochanan would have to say he's talking about a Shomer, and he's going according to the Akhenim, who say that it's Metame. What do you mean? And it doesn't help it. Rabbi Yochanan holds a Shomer even less than a Kapol is Metame. So why did the Akhenim say Kapol? Even if it only has Kapol, they should have said even had less than a Kapol. Why are they saying even if only has Kapol? Yes, the Gemara. Ya'cherim? How could he say like Ya'cherim? Rabbi Meir said over here, Ha'kipol ka'amri. Rabbi Yochanan, she says, you don't need a shear of a kapol for a shayna. So, yeah, and here the mayor is saying the parish, even if it only had a triple amount, or had less than full amount. No, no, the thing is, the Eide Vigander Tanakamashira, Kamehinanamashira, it doesn't mean it has to be the pole. It's just saying, instead of you talking about it, because I didn't get a hand, even if it's just the size of the pole, truth is, I don't even need a shear of the pole. But once you already start talking about how much, whatever we need is science. If I had a kapol, it wouldn't be good. But the truth is, if you look, Pachas Mikapol would be good. Omar Rava said, Rava, by the way, the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan, it makes a lot of sense. That's talking about a shamer. They can not do a shamer asking, why do you think that talk about a kulit? He should have said etzen. I mean, if it's talking about a bone that has a muscle, I mean, any bone that has a muscle. You're talking about a kulit, it means you're singling out the largest bone, basically, in the body. And that's a bone that would likely have moach of a gizai. That must be why you're singling out the kulit. In which case, we're talking about a shomer, because we're talking about basar inside the bone, not basar on the bone, for which it would be a yad. Shmania, indeed, that is very reasonable. We can use that loosely. I know there's a bone that has on it. Let's say, you know. Ijma. Rabbi Hanina Amar Zehu Shiur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zehu Shiur. What Rabbi Hanina says, the kapol that the Acherim said, is not really a shiur. Yeah, I mean, it's a shiur. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not really a shiur. What do you mean, it's a shiur? It's not a shiur. It says kapol, the katani kapol. Yes, but we've already explained that I need to karma tana kama shiura, kama inu nami shiura. So indeed, it works out perfectly well. This is with Yochanan Shitas, right? Who holds that when the mayor said over here at kapol, he was only responding to the tana kama kizayit, but he didn't mean you really need a kapol.
Kosher.
Toshma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitaher b'shalpo u'mitamei b'shalkitnit mipnei sherotze b'mashmishan. Now, l'chora, we're talking about over here a case in which you have a shalbit, a pod, and in the pod you have peas or you have smaller seeds, as in kitnit. Here we're using kitnit in the way that the Gemara uses, not as any legume, but as the small, tiny, like sesame type thing. So now, the question is whether the sharbit is considered to be a shomer or not. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds, in order for it to be a shomer, it has to be something that serves a purpose which you find desirable and necessary. Since a pole is quite large, and what you'd like to do actually, even for storage purposes, you have no need for the pod. It's much better to get them out of the pod. So what are you worried about? That a rock will fall into it. I mean, it's easy between the moshpitchin and get anything out. If it were sesame, I understand to distinguish between a little piece of dirt and sesame is not easy. So over there, to pick it up, I mean, it's much easier to have it in its pod. So where it's talking about sesame, I'd like it to be kept in the pot, keep it clean and so on. Where it's talking about tea or bean, what do I need the pot for? Therefore, Tainas Rebelosa ben Azariah, if it's a bean, then the pot is not considered to be a shomer. But if it's ketanin, so then it is considered to be a shomer. And the reason is, what we understood the word to be, the mashmishan, mashmish, the mashmish, the mashmish, means to, you know, poke at it, to get out the dirt, to get out the dirt between it, right? Which is mashma, that the problem over here is not in how to hold it, because holding is tashmish. It's a problem in cleaning. So therefore it's not an issue of yad, it's an issue of shomer. Okay? And this bothers us, because if you're talking about the question of something that's the size of a sumsum, so then how exactly do we understand a shomer to be working on something that's so tiny? And the Gemara explains that actually what it's talking about, as we'll see later on, Kiyomer Abachad Rei Derava, Bekulcha Umishum Yad, Alchanami Bekulcha Umishum Yad, Umay Bemashmishan, Betashmishan. What it's talking about, Umiyomer the Kipnis, is not a reference to the pod, it's, and that would be a din of a shamer, rather it's talking about the stalk on which many pods are attached. And between all of these pods, you certainly do have a design. And since you use the yad of the stalk to all of it, therefore it's considered to be a yad to a shear of the design. But in a finami, if it would be a single pod and would have less than the shear, then maybe it wouldn't be mitami. Yeah, by the way, the reason that we hold that it's got to be talking about if it was less than the shear in it is because over there, the case was that it said even if there was one left, even if the pod was open, there was only one tiny sumsum in it that's left, that would be enough to be metani. Toshma. The problem is like this. The whole mocker, as we learned earlier, the whole mocker of the din of the Shemra on the Pri is learned out from one plastic, according to the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael, from Kol Zera Zeruah, correct? Kol Zera Zeruah, we learned out to Derek Shebnei Adam Motsim Lizriah, Chita Beklipata, Sora Beklipata, Adashim Beklipata. If the mocker in the Torah is a tiny seed that has a klipa on it. So, I mean, what are we talking about, Kippol? That means the shamer can be even on a tiny seed. So the whole discussion here is moot. To the parish of Pasek, that a shamer, the mother of the name of shamer, is something in the size of a shita. So how are we discussing, Bechla, whether you need a gazayas, whether you need a kippol? You don't need anything, it's obvious. Answers the Gemara of Bir Yashay. Of course, if it's an entire intact organism, such as a chita or a saira, then it's considered to be a shamer. Of course, once this is true, it obviates the need for making any tariffs on the previous sugya. Because the previous sugya is also talking about the shabitim of sesame or coal. So over there, it's also considered to be a birya. In Okinami, Rashi says, now that we're saying this, I mean, we no longer have a problem with the previous sugya, but until we knew this, we thought we had to explain that there was a kizayas over there.
There seems to be certain levels of shomera.
What do you mean, levels of shomera?
A chita comes in a sheaf.
We'll talk about that. We're actually going to take the chita apart in a moment on the base.
Some water for the Kodesh.
Sorry?
Special
for Rosh Chodesh. Special Rosh Chodesh. Now let's not interrupt the rules. Boy, Revation. Revation has a new question like this. Shnei Shomrim Maro Shitzkar. Can you be Mitzarev to Shomrim even though they're not being Shomer, the Chorah, in the same way or on the same thing? That's actually what his question is. Hey, Shigar. He's talking about there's two layers of Shomrim, and the question is whether you could be Mitzarek, the outer layer to the inner layer with the fruit inside, and make that altogether the shear that you need for tuna. That doesn't make sense, because we know, quite aside from discussions of tzilos, there's no such thing as a Shomer on top of another Shomer. Umi ika Shomer agab Shomer. But it's not, it's the Farish Mishnah, which Sabbat Josh usually quotes at the Avilim's homes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalosh Klipot Bebatzal. An onion has three levels of shells. The Pnimit Ben Shlema Ben Kedura Mitztarefet. The inner shell is edible on its own, and therefore whether it has a hole in it or whether it's whole, it's mitzvah because it's food, not because it's shomer on the onion underneath it. The middle one Emtsait is only metame as a shomer, and therefore if it's shlema, if it's whole, it's a good shomer, and it fits that effect to the shear of the onion beneath it. Kidura, if it has a hole through it, ain't mitzvah refet because it's not a good shomer. The chitzona, beinkach ubeinkach torah, whether it's whole or not, it's anyway not mitzvah refet because it's not a shomer because it's on top of the other shell, which is the shomer. Okay? So you could forget about asking whether you could be mitzvah to the shomer to the shomer, because there is no shomer to be mitzvah to the shomer. The upper shomer is not considered to be a shomer because the pre is taken care of by the inner shomer. So that's out. So what then was his question?
Well, you see, I know two shomer, the dry one outside and the onion.
You have not been careful enough with the onions.
What? You start peeling the onion, you see there's a peel on the onion.
Yes, I have to eat it.
That's exactly why it's done. It's not as oniony as the rest of the onion.
It's edible, one.
But it is edible.
Shomer is non-edible? Shomer is
non-food? If it's food, what do you need it to be a shomer for? It would be the actual oil. Rabbi Yishia is not asking a case of Shema Gabi Shema, obviously. He knows the Mishnah Uksin. What he's asking is a Shema also Shechil Kok, I mean, by the way. Let's say that you had a piece of meat that had skin on it, and you sliced through the skin. So now you have, this is how Tosfos understands it. So now you have two separate Shomrim. Because, I mean, after all, I mean, the dirt and bacteria can get in through the area where you cut. But each piece of ore is shomer on the meat that it's connected to. So now, if I could add them all up, I could have a shear of a kibbeza. Huh?
Steak and eggs.
I'm out of practice. I've been sleeping. Nobody's been waking me up.
You're out of practice even for a loop?
Oh
my God, this is really bad. I'm not jealous anymore. I thought he was doing better when he was. Okay. So that's his question. Can I be mitzvah? Do I say, kiva d'hai lo magina hai? V'hai lo magina hai? Lo mitzvah. Do we say, since each piece is not making on the bus if it's underneath the other piece, so how can you put it all together into one shear? Or do we say, oh, Dilma Kiva Dahai Magina Diday, Vai Magina Diday, Mitzvah? Or do we say that? Look, the bottom line is that each one is Messiah, is Shemer on its piece, and the Batzer per se is connected, again, the way Joseph is learning, and therefore the whole thing should be Messiah together. Toshma, can we bring a riot to answer this from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mitaher B'Shel Kol, ומתאמי בשל קטנית מפני שרוצה במשמישן. So now, if we're learning the case that we had before, that is מתאמי בשל קטנית, it's undoubtedly where the shear is, where you've got two, let's say, of these, or many of these pods, and now we're going to be מסרב all of them with each other to create a case in which you have the kibbeza. And apparently we're taking, even though each pod is not making on the Oakland in the other pod, nonetheless, we will put them together and we'll be mitzarefet. Of course, the question is, let's wait 1 second. So we answer the same thing we said before, and this was the mocker, actually, of the answer we said before. It's not talking about over here being mitzaref at all. It's talking about a case where you have a yad, and the yad is a yad to Erchlin and all of the pods. We're not being mitzaref any shomrim at all, and we have over here a yad to a kizayis, and therefore there's no problem. So what's the big issue in the first place? Okay, the obvious question is, who's to say that we needed siruf anyway? How do we know that we're not talking about that you had enough without the shomrim, now that we're willing to say that? So it's originally when we asked that question, we said, is it not because we're being sorry, the shamrim of the various pods to the earth when in the other pods? And we had to answer it by saying, well, I guess you're right. We're talking about a yad and not about a shomer. We're not talking about the pods. We're talking about the kulcha, which is the stalk on which all of the pods are attached, as we said at Amud Aleph, right?
Yes.
And the issue is yad, and yad doesn't have this problem. It's not the tariff anyway. Yad. It's only talking about being maybe tuna or being mostly tuna. But if that's the case, as Tosfos says, why did we think that we needed to talk about a case of tzivuch, the klal? Why not simply say that we don't need the tzivuch of the shayne, so that we have sufficient pieces in it, actual seeds inside of the pods that are on this path? Why do we have to go to the case of kulcha to say it's mishum yad, and not simply say, you know, you're right, but with the case over here, the yad in obsessively, it would be matanity as a kibetzah, without adding together the shevrim of each one. Okay, so Tosfos learns that the point is that really we're not saying over here the case of kulcha because of that. The truth is, all along we would have wanted to say that we're talking about a case of kulcha. The point is, however, that since it says Mashmishan means shemen, because yad is only to pick it up, and that's tashmish, not mashmish. Mashmish means to poke around it in order to make it clean. Menaker, as you say in Aramaic, we would use menaker, right? In Aramaic style Hebrew. Okay, but mashmishan would be the same idea, menaker, poke. So Our natural response to learning this, if it hadn't been for the word mashmishan, would have been to say it's talking about a kulcha, to get away from all of these issues. Now that we're willing to learn that the word mashmish actually means tashmish, that's why we said the case is kulcha. Enochiami said Tosfos, if it wouldn't have been for that, and we would have been stuck with shomer, obviously we could have said it's not talking about a case of tzira from shomer. And if we're looking, however, for the more natural pirush, is that somebody's holding a stalk to which pods are attached, and now the shayla is it not zero, but is it maybe tuma for all of the pods? As we say, that it's noach bit mashmishan, meaning betashmishan. Tashman, and here too, we'll bring the same riot we brought before. The Tanah Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the mocker of Shemer, is Alkol Zera Zeruah, Tiderach Shnei Adam Mosim Zriah, Kitabik Lipata, Sorabik Lipata, Viadashim, Biklipatan. So apparently, if we're talking about Tuma that comes from a Shemer, Alkol Zera Zeruah, then it must be possible to be mitzaret seeds with their coatings for kezayis. This is what the Torah is calling the shear of tumah and its mocker, alkozer zeruah. Which means that if you have a kebeta of kol zera zeruah, including the shomrim, the different shomrim on the different seeds will be mitzaret altogether, because each one is considered to be an extension of its own seed. So even though it's not being shamer on the other ones, it's being shamer on itself. And there's your answer to Rav Oshia's question. Why not? Of course it's mitzvah. Third thing with Farish, it's mitzvah. So why does Rav Oshia have any doubt that that's the case? Answers the Gemara, the case over here, Kiryom Ravach, whoops. Yeah. Just like Rav Akiva Rava said over there, the kulcha, and the dinner is bishum yad, hachinami bishidra, or bishum shomer. Now we're getting into our president's ha'ora earlier. Basically, when you're talking about, let's say we take a chita, who's to say that the reference over here is to a single chita? Why would the reference not be to the entire tasa, in which you have many chitim, all of which are interconnected, surrounded by this membrane, that serves as the shomer, basically, for all of them? The truth is, if you pull out Hechitah on the bottom, the whole thing falls apart. So that means that it's not really a case of a shomer that's being shomer only on itself. It's all basically interconnected. The shmirah of each separate chitah is connected with the shmirah of all the other chitim, in which case, as our president pointed out, there are different levels of shmirah. And in this case, you do have a kezayit or a kebeisa because you have the entire sasin. So who's to say that it would be mistarif in a plate? Where you have things that are not being shomer on one another, it's because it is being shomer on one another. And therefore, we could learn that the case over here is that you have a shidra, and it's a shomer. Now, wait. That's fair to say, in the sense that if you pull out the bottom chitim, then the top also will collapse. But if you lose some of the top, you will not destroy the shmirah on the bottom. So how can you call the whole thing elatatita? What is the need of the shomer on the bottom chitim for the upper chitim? True, says the Gemara. What we're talking about over here is b'chad dar. If you take a look at a sasa, you have rows of chitim, one underneath the other, and one row, each row is certainly interconnected, each chita is interconnected with the chitim on that row. Because I'm pulling out any of these chitim, the entire row will definitely fall. So you're right, upper and lower, it's not fair to consider it a shomer on the whole thing, because they're not interrelated in both directions. But in one dara, in one row, where did we have the word dara before? Dore. This is dara. Yes?
The lungs.
The lungs. The dara de uni. Right. We also had it somewhere else. The gabe yes or bechoser and neivorim. It's the extra fingers. It's in the dara of the espos. So. Now, the shiloh over here is, of course, it's all very nice to talk about the entire sasa as having a kebeitza, but how do you get a kebeitza in one row of a sasa? That would be a pretty good trick. Ask the Gemara, and do you have umi ika kebeitza also in b'chad dara? Where do you get a kebeitza? Answers the Gemara, b'chiti neshilin ben shetach. Obviously, in those, I mean, a chita in the day that shilin ben shetach says with the size of a kidney. So, I mean, so of course, yeah, as a matter of fact, Ashkenazita Lahashi, if we're talking about Shimon ben Shetach, so what do we need even a dara to keep? One chita would be enough. And therefore, we can avoid the whole issue of the Shemrin question, that the tzarif one to another. It's chita, b'chada chita, nami, it's talking about, and b'chita the Shimon ben Shetach. Right.
Is a bunch of grapes, is this the same idea?
No. Over there it's yad. The grapes are interrelated only as a yad, not as a shomer. There's no shomer that's connected from one grape to the next. Gufa. Shnei atzamot v'aleihem shnei chatzai zeitin. Getting back to the opening case that we had, which was the case of a mate in which we have a chatzai zeit on two atzamot. We put the two atzamot, the other end, without any basar on them, into a house. And then we have, if these were shem shnai labayit, when we have a house, a bayit that's being mayo, on, through the yad or the shomer, depending on what the case was, as we spoke about earlier, the bayit is tamei, and Yehuda ben Ikuso, ner mishomer Yaakov, hech shnei atzamot mitzarfim lekizayit. Okay, so there we have the Machlokas Rav of Yochanan and how to understand this price, how to understand the Machlokas Hatanoim here, whether it's B'yad or B'shomer. So Reish Lakish Tam pointed out back on that Lo Shana La Edson, Tavi Yad. If you want to learn the case over there as a Yad case, an Edson is a good example of a Yad. But a Nima Lo Havi Yad to say that if there was hair was attached to basar, and I put the hair into a house, then it would not act as a yad. Rabbi Yochanan Hafil Nima Aviyat. Rabbi Yochanan says even a hair is considered to be a yat. And Rabbi Yochanan points out to Rish Lakish, hey, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, or Sheyesh Allah Kizayit Basar, Hanogia Bitsiv Vayotsemi Menu, Ubisahara Shenegdo Tamen, says the Farish, that even touching a hair would be Metane. Alokora, my lab Mishumiyan, what's the tumor of the hair? It's got to be because you could pick up the piece of meat by picking up this hair. Lo, Mishum Shomer. It's because the hair is a Shomer on the Basar. What? The skin is the Shomer on the Basar. The hair would only be a Shomer on a Shomer. We already said that a Shomer on a Shomer is not considered to be a Shomer. Umiika Shomer, Agade Shomer. Didn't we prove before with the case of the onion that you don't have a Shomer, Agade Shomer? Tainez Resh Lakish. The hair penetrates the skin and gets down to the level of the basar, and therefore, as long as the hair is there, it's protecting the follicle that's underneath it, which is already deep enough to be considered to be edible in its bosom. Maschilo Rebaka by Yaakov, Tanya Rebaka by Yaakov. If you say that a hair goes down that deep into the skin, then it's not kosher to use skin to write a tefillin on. So they have the tefillin etikatina. How can you write tefillin on parchment? The way in which we have the parchment is that we use it after we take off the hair. Habina ketiva tama v'lecha. You need that ketiva tama where there's no holes, and you don't have a ketiva tama. And of course, this is a simple mistake. Ishtamidite, he never learned or forgot. Hadi amid maharava, the famous mimer from Eretz Yisrael, that kol nekev shadyo verlov eno nekev, so that even if you have a hole, a hair follicle is not considered to be a hole la'alacha, because anything that the ink will not go into and the ink simply writes over is not considered to be a hole. Therefore, there's no problem. So that could mean if it's kokul in the palco, it doesn't have a din of the nekev, and memela is ksiva talma. Or, you know what? Tanya is very shlokish. Fine, it may be mishum yad. But it's not because it's a hair, it's because it's a whole handful of hair. There I made it to you that there's a din of yad. The case of Rabbi Lar, as we'll see, is talking about the hair on a chita, which is extremely delicate, acting as a yad. Which is very strange, because if you try to pick up one of those, it simply pulls out. And there, Rabbi Eloi explained that if you have an entire bunch of these milayim, they don't pull out. You can lift up the sasa with it. And the mela, it acts as a yad. So the same way that he explained that, says Rish Lakish, legabe the chita, I would agree with you that legabe baser, if you have a handful of hair, then of course it would act as a yad. And where was the case? Where was the case that Rabbi Law was referring to? Aha. The case was also in Uktzin, where it says over there, Milae Shibishibolin are mitaminu mitami. They are both makabaltum and mitami others through the hair. The inner mitstarfim. Why? Because it's not referring to a shamer, it's referring to a yad. Now, so we have milai lemai chazi. By the way, the way it appears over there is with an ayin, not with an aleph. What good is a milai as a yad? It will just pull off. And Rabbi Eloi explained, Amar Rabbi Eloi, the milai shebein amilayim. That's what it's referring to. Which case, I can say the same thing he's referring to over here. The case of asar is a, or asiv shebebosar is a reference to something where there's enough to be strong enough to lift it up. Now this whole discussion that was said here on the brisa of the Shnei Atzamot, Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, about whether a hair would be as good as a bone, there are some who never had the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish on the Mishnah in Uktzin, or on this brisa, but rather on our Mishnah here in Arba Arot. And the Lishna Achrina says it like this, Lishna Achrina Amrimah, Hachinami mistarav, sorry, I skipped that. It's reasonable. The way they learn it is that it's reasonable. It's talking about a shomer, not mishum yad. He's talking about mishum yad, mimakas amaychazi, and because we use it to prove that it's a din of a shomer against Rabbi Yochanan. There is no yad, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Kiram Rabbi Lovim Loish Benim Loim, or Kiram Rabbi Nima Shemein Animin, Heichid Madar Rabbi Lo, the Tzan of Loish Benim Loim, the Tzan of the Tamin, Emet Starfim, and we add." Fine. Now, Ika the Matzim, or there are others who have this entire discussion on our Mishnah. I'm going to read this because it's nothing but repetition of everything that we just said. That doesn't need any explanation. It simply substitutes the discussion in our Mishnah of Etzem for the discussion in Shnei Atzamot Shabbisim Abayitacha. So the way you read it in our Mishnah would be, or Baraita Vakifa, so on and so forth, and it's time for the time to the Sechling, and Rishwati says that this is only true of an Etzem, which is a Shainer. But a Nima is not considered to be a Shainer. Rabbi Yochanan Tainer said a Nima is considered to be a Shainer. So this is a twist on the way we had it in the other case. And Rish Lakish, in this version, it's Rish Lakish, who Tainer Rabbi Yochanan, Mika Shainer Agabi Shainer, to which Rabbi Yochanan says, ah, but the hair is Fechulin Mechalchel, and therefore it reaches all the way down through the hair follicle. And Ravaka asks, and then what about Tefillin? That'll be out of Tefillin after Katzmina. Don't we need Ketiva Tama Valeka? And the Gemara explains that's not much of a question because Ishtamit, the other Amir Bimarova, Kol Nekev Shadio Verolov, Eno Nekev. And Rabbi Yochanan asks, Reish Lakish, who says that it's not Shum Shomer, or Sheyesh Alav Tizayit Basar Nogia Betziva Yotzimimimimimim, Ubisara Shekinendo Tamei. And he says, obviously, this has got to be because it's a Shomer. Otherwise, how could it be Mitameh? To which Reish Lakish says, no, it's Mitameh Mishum Yad. And Rabbi Yochanan then asks, what good is a single hair as a Yad? Nimachas L'maykazya, which Reish Lakish explains, K'diom Rabbi Loi B'malai Sheben HaMiloim, Ha'chinabi B'nima Sheben HaNimin, and where did Rabbi Loi say B'malai Sheben HaMiloim? On the Mishnah Luktzin, or if it's not, and we asked over there, Meloy Lamai Kazia, and that's where Rabbi Loi said, Meloy Shabin Amila. Vakov Shalir Mikayan. Enough of that.
Ruchim
Anim Tzayim, Vakodesh Tov, Vakol Anim Tzayim,
Ve'elayim Abayim. What we did for a few weeks was to learn a daf and a half on Friday and a daf and a half on Sunday, so we didn't have to learn.
You like that?
Well, last week we got together at 6:15.
Sure. Yes. And that's what you want. Okay.
What do we do with it? What's the point of letting everybody know when you have a blah blah
blah? Rabbi said, but what do we do about minutes? I mean, those are about minutes at 6:30.
And 6:15 turned out to be 6:30.
Yeah, so we should not. They worked out fine. 6:30 is
close. 6:30 is close. 6:30
is close. 6:30
is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30 is close. 6:30